Can you start by just telling me who you are and where you were born?
Well, I'm Mrs. Arthur Fawcett, or Susan Fawcett, and I was born in Scotland near Edinburgh, and I worked in the Hotel Vancouver under the Canadian Brotherhood of Railroad Transport and General Workers. I was in the hotel for 35 years. The union was not in that long. I'm one of the chartered members of the union.
You immigrated to Canada.
Yes.
When did you do that?
In 1929.
And what caused you to come here?
Because most of my family were over here.
Right. Had the Depression hit yet?
I arrived the day the Depression hit, when the Wall Street crash, October the 4th, 1929. The Wall Street crash.
A historic landing.
Yes.
And did you start to work during the Depression?
Well, I worked, I was only here a month till I got a job as a companion to Dean Daniel Buchanan of UBC's mother-in-law, Mrs. Tape. And I had to take her for walks and take care of her. And they paid me $37.50 with my room and board a month, which was good money in those days. And my cousin, who an aunt that I came to, my mother was still in Scotland. My father died when I was four, was here, see. And then my sister worked in Hotel Vancouver, Margaret, and my uncle worked in Hotel Vancouver. So I asked them if they could get me a job in the hotel. I wasn't married then. And they just sort of, you know, was put off, and I stayed with the Buchanans. And I got married from Buchanans to my husband, who was a Canadian. He was born in New Brunswick.
What did he do?
He was a diesel engineer.
Right. And was he in a trade union?
And he was in, yes, the same union as me, but under the marine section.
Ah.
Yeah. I had nothing to do with his union. We were local 275, and he was local 400. See, that's a different branch of the union, but under the marine division, but the same union.
So he was in the CBRT at that time?
Yeah. And no, I don't, yes, I guess he was at that time, yeah.
And did you continue to work even though you were married?
Yes, I got a job. I was credit manager at William Waddell's furniture store for some time. They were in undergoing bankruptcy at the time, trying to get in all their bills, and worked for them, and I got over $100 a month for that because it was a big job. And then when the store closed, then I closed. Then I thought I'd take up nursing, and I went to St. Paul's Hospital and enrolled there in the nursing school. And the wages were got to $10 a month. And in the meantime, I'd got married. And my husband was a diesel engineer from the States. He came from California. He'd gone there as a child. They came back to Canada. And so we couldn't possibly live on. He wasn't getting any money because he was at the diesel engineering school. And what he was doing there, they were overhauling an engine, but that was only paying for their course.
Right.
And so we couldn't. We had a room, sort of room and kitchenette on Richard Street at that time for $2 a week.
So you'd be making $10 a month.
And $8 a month. So there was no way, so I had to give up the nursing, and but still worked in the hospital in the you know, the different wards. And that was St. Paul's, and worked there for about a year, I guess, or two. Anyway, I went back to the old country for a trip to see my mother. And I came back, and then I went to work in the Hotel Vancouver. And actually, in 1937,
so
I worked in the old hotel.
Right. So that was during the Depression that you got a job?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And I was in the old hotel. I was making salads and making coffees, things like that. What they call the still room in the hotel.
Yeah.
And then from there, they opened up the new hotel, you see, and they asked me if I'd like to go to work in the new hotel. And I said, yes, I thought I might. So I took about a month or 2 months off and went over to the new hotel, and I went in the cafeteria to work short order cook.
When was that? Do you remember?
And yes, and that was in 1939.
Okay.
When the hotel opened up.
During those depression years, were you did you sort of follow the struggles that were going on in Vancouver of the unemployed?
Oh yes, definitely. There, yeah, the tin canners down at the post office and
right. And
all that. Oh, we're definitely, that was of course that was before the war that
mm-hmm.
happened. And the war started on September the 3rd, 1939.
Right.
So, and that was before that. Those tin canners were down there at the post office, and things were very, very bad. We got in the hotel $37.50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But we were allowed our uniforms and our meals, you know, included. We could have three meals a day, but I worked like... First I worked the split shift where I got the three meals, then we worked, you know, straight shift, got two meals. But they were very good to us in those days, you know, they never,
they
made sure you had something to eat, they always did.
So were the working conditions relatively good at the hotel?
Oh, they were always excellent.
Yeah.
First was the CPR and the CNR for the first 21 years were combined.
Oh.
From the hotel opened up till... Then the CNR took over after 21 years, that was the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And the working conditions were excellent, always excellent. The staff were wonderful. There weren't much money around, but if it was somebody's wedding, well, you never had to go around twice to ask somebody. They always gave, no matter if it was only 25 cents, that, you know, you got a lovely gift. And the manager used to be good enough to get gifts wholesale for us, which made it that much nicer. So they went out their way to be nice to us. They gave us the hotel and a room in, you know, the ballroom for the children's parties.
Yeah.
And they supplied the tea for the ladies that was attending, the mothers, you know, and that. And then the children, we supplied everything for them. And first we didn't collect anything. We took it like out the union. Well, the union funds, when we had the union afterwards, but previous to having the union, we had to collect off the people, you know, so much for each child.
So this would be like a staff party?
Yeah, well, we always had a staff party. The hotel gave us that. And the managers and everybody waited on us then. Then they had dancing and that. That happened, you know, and before mm-hmm. the children's, or after the children's party.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So, the relationships between people who worked there were quite...
Very good. Excellent. The only thing that during the war, you know, when the war started, was the Mr., you know, the manager always put a sign up that, please, English only to be spoken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did have a lot of other nationalities, but he preferred that everyone speak English,
mm-hmm.
just in case there was anybody thinking it might be spies or something. Now, one time in the hotel, there was 50 cooks behind the range. Downstairs, it really did a lot of business.
Mm-hmm.
Hotel it was the hotel in Vancouver. It was the only hotel. When someone came to the airport or the train, they just say, "Take me to the hotel." They didn't need to say Hotel Vancouver. There was no such thing as a Bayshore Inn, and
right.
The Georgia was second rate, and the other ones, and they really did. But it's a beautiful hotel. The old hotel was beautiful, but so is this one. It's a lovely hotel.
What kind of work did you do?
Cook.
Right.
Short order.
So
carving.
Right.
Carving meat, you know, making eggs. Breakfast cook, you know, making eggs, bacon, sausages, and pancakes, and waffles, and carving the meat, you know, for the lunch, and supervising the girls. There was 13 of us worked behind the counter. I supervised the girls. Now we had the chef. We'd one chef over us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And how were the working conditions and wages? You described the wages.
Then the wages were raised eventually to $60.
Was that after the Depression was over?
This is during the war. You know, the Depression never really got over till after that, you know, after the 30s were over. And then about 1941, I think, they gave us a cost of living bonus of $13. So we got $73, and we were sealed in our job. We couldn't leave the hotel to go to another job. No.
Why was that?
That was the government. Everybody was sealed in their job. They came around to see if you want to recruit for the Navy, the Army, or the Air Force. Even the girls, you know, like for us, of course, we'd be in the storerooms and that, taking charge. But my husband was already in the Air Force. He was one of the first men to join up, and he was in the Marine section of the Air Force, you know, supplying salvage vessels. Right from the first day of war, September the 3rd, 1939. He left on the 4th to go to war. And he was up in the Aleutian Islands. So I wasn't about to go. You know, like I had my sisters, my family. I had my home, in which my people lived with me. Took care of them.
So you were working while your husband was at war. Were there many women in that same position?
Oh, yes. There was quite a few in the hotel in that position, yeah. Yeah, they'd, sometimes it was kind of hard to get good workers, you know. Mm-hmm. And the best workers, of course, in my estimation, are the ones that's trained in the hotel and know what they have to do, you know. If you get, some of them think, well, they know everything, that worked somewhere before. But if you get the ones like from a home, mm-hmm. a woman that's managed a home and a family, she'll usually be pretty smart to take care of the guests. And the one thing we had to have was a ready smile and a welcome for everybody. Mm-hmm. So there's no way that you could have a, even if you didn't feel like it, you had to smile. No.
Was the majority of the workforce female at the hotel?
During the war, they were all female. There was only one man, the chef, he was Swiss. The others, they took out everybody. Every man went out the hotel that... even if he couldn't join the army, you know, he was put into the farms. Mm-hmm. They took away everybody except Swiss. They were neutral. And our chef was Swiss. Mm-hmm. So.
Did women do all kinds of different jobs within the hotel?
Like, oh, yes.
And what kind of work did they do?
The porters and that were, some of them were, so, you know, they'd been at the old hotel and they were pretty.
Older
men, they were too old for to join the army, so they were all right. But all the young men had to go. Oh, they had, they had waiters before, like all waiters in the hotel, Vancouver, when we opened up first. Then after this local 28 took over this deal, we never joined it. Nobody joined it but the waiters.
When did local 28 try and come in?
About 41, the end of 41.
And what did they do to try and organize the hotel?
Well, I never ever saw them, so I don't know what they did. They didn't bother us at all. They just went after the waiters. Then after this Christmas, I think it'd be the Christmas of 41 or 42, I'm not too sure now, that was the Christmas that the hotel hired women. They brought the women waitresses in then, see. And they let them. And those old men, the men that had been there for 35 and 40 years, lost their jobs, lost all their pension, they lost everything.
Was that because they had joined the union?
Because they walked out on the hotel. Okay. No, not because they joined the union. No, no.
Can you describe that walkout a bit?
Well, it was. It happened also suddenly. We were like in the ballroom, and all the children were in there, and everybody was waiting. The entertainment was all planned and everything, you know. And then all of a sudden, these waiters all started to leave. And I said, "Why is the waiters leaving?" Oh, they did not have a man working in the hotel that belonged to that union, like their stewards. Mm-hmm. They were all, and then the man was a business agent. It wasn't somebody in the hotel. It was a business agent, and he said, the business agent from this waiters union has come, and he's called off all the waiters. They're on strike for higher money.
And this was during the children's
Christmas party. Yeah. And they walked out, and they never got back, those men. They never got their jobs.
Did that create a lot of resentment?
Well, not really. I mean, everybody felt badly, but, you know, well, people's... maybe they feel they want to union. So then we got in touch with the Brotherhood, and they stepped in then. So I think it was in 1942 the Brotherhood took over. But there was no trouble. They just, Mr. Allison came in, he was an organizer, and there was about three or four other men from Ottawa. And they came up and they signed everybody up. And they had to have 50%, over 50%. And they had well over, I think, 80% of people signed up. Well, they were all really put out, you know, the waiters especially, about this, how these men had lost their job.
So that created the conditions for people to organize.
Yeah, and get in. And then the first raise we got was $20 a month when the union were just got in there. So then, from then on, the wages went up. Now, the working conditions were very good. There was nothing wrong with them. Oh, these, another thing that this put people against Local 28 too, they went to court to an arbitration about the food in the hotel.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And they took them to court about it, and it was an arbitration board or something, and they said that the food was not good in the hotel, and anyway, they lost because the food was excellent. There was nothing wrong with the food. It was excellent food. And they were making up all kinds of excuses to try and, you know, get a raise in the wages. Mm-hmm. Because we got our food for nothing, you know. The food went with your...
complaining about the quality of food that they thought the workers were getting?
Yeah, that's it. Uh-huh. And but none of the workers would get up and swear to it. So they lost their case.
They didn't really have a base behind them?
No. They were lying about it. They were lying about the food. You can't... nothing than lies. So they lost out. So they never did get back in the hotel.
What are the issues that caused people to join the union? Given that
I think it was because we didn't feel that the hotel was advancing, giving us enough money. Because during the war, see, there some of the people had been in the hotel before, and then afterwards, of course, we were sealed in our job, and they were working down there at the shipyard. You know, $1.25 and $1.50 an hour, the people, and we were still only getting $60 an hour, $60 a month. And then we didn't have an 8-hour day, you know.
So you would compare your conditions to...
yeah, that's right. Another hotel. Now, Georgia Hotel and the Devonshire Hotel, they had much better wages than we had, and yet we were the first-class hotel.
Right, so you would know that the hotel is pulling in more money.
That's right.
You were not being paid.
But we never had a strike. The first time that we always had a very good understanding between management and labor in the hotel in those days. And then in 1950, the railway went out, and we at that were part of the railway. Mm-hmm. They had the hotels, the railway, and everything joint together. But we had to go out to the railway. See, when one part goes, you all have to join. So we picketed the hotel. Not for ourselves, but for the railroad, you see. And then, of course, when the railroad got a raise, we got a raise. Mm-hmm. And better holiday pay. Right. So we were... that was 9 days in 1950. But the management never, they were very nice. They came out and talked to us. Very nice. They weren't. We were out because we had to go out with our, you know, our union, that's all. And I never thought we had another strike in the hotel, but they had one recently, you know.
So would CBRT then be negotiated? Then we...
the railway, but, CBRT was in the Canadian National and the Canadian Pacific. And then at that time, I think we got two passes on the railway. And this they brought up as being part of our way. You know, like, say, once a year, somebody might want to travel to Montreal. And that would be part of the way. Now we don't get the passes anymore. It's become the...
War, did the fact that other, in other, I guess, sectors, you and the people you work with feel more open?
We were always open to it. I mean, I am from Scotland, for trade union is the thing. And so we always believed in trade union. And we always had, and the ones that I talked to, and they were very open to trade unions, you know, that there was no one against it. We did really have a nice open thing about trade unions.
So that was the general experience?
It was just that, well, we'd have an agreement, maybe 2 years, 3 year agreement, you know. Then at the end of that time, we'd have to open up again to make a new agreement. And then we'd go around all the other hotels and get their union agreements. And of course, these other hotels were under this waitresses, you know, this local thing that. So they were getting higher wages. But we never had an outside man. We always had our own men that worked in the hotel. We're always the local chairmen and stewards. Oh yes, definitely. I was shop steward all the time I was there, and I was president for about close to 4 years, off and on, you know, 1.5 years, and then maybe another, you know, year. And then, on the audit committee, I've been on everything except the... Well, recording secretary, but not the financial secretary. Mm-hmm. It's the only job. It always had a man on. But I've been on every job in the union and been to lots of conventions. And
when you were was that
long? Oh, that was just for us, just for Hotel Vancouver. We did try to work in with the Empress Hotel in Victoria, because it was under the same union, you know. We tried to, like, we always kept in touch with them to see how, like, if they were negotiating for something. But we found that we could negotiate very well with our own management. Of course, sometimes we had to bring in an arbitrator, you know, mm-hmm. bring in an outside man to arbitrate, and he'd talk to them, talk to us, and then come back, and then we'd discuss it, and finally we'd reach an agreement one way or another.
Were you involved in the actual organizing to bring the CBRT into the hotel?
No, not really. No, not really.
How did that happen? How did it happen?
Well, it was someone in the hotel had got in touch with in Ottawa, mm-hmm. told him about this locum 28 coming in there and the trouble they'd caused. And I believe it was one of these men that had been fired, these waiters. And so they came up from the east. And then this Mr. Huey Allison was a very fine man and his wife. And they lived in Vancouver, and he was a Western representative. Mm. And so he came into the hotel, and they got talking. We had a meeting, you know, in the hotel, and discussed everything, and asked if we were open to join a union. We'd never belonged to a union, because we were not in the other one. It was just the waiters.
So were they organizing the hotel at the same time as they were organizing rail workers, too?
No, they were all done before.
They had been
Yeah.
Right.
They've been done years before, I think. It must be, because it was 50th Jubilee they had here in the hotel. They had their 50th Jubilee, the union.
Oh, wow.
I think it was about 1904 or something they first organized this. And it's a strictly Canadian union, and that was something that we all liked, that the money was not going to the States, because Most of my relatives, in-laws, are Americans, but I do not agree with my money that I pay in going to the States, nor yet do I agree with it going to a political party. I believe that I have the freedom of what I want to do. My union cannot tell me that I've got to pay into that political. And so we had a regular set, too, when I was the president there, about this. They wanted to sponsor one of the political parties, labor parties, and I said, absolutely not. That when we joined this union, we were told it was non-political. And I said, I have the minutes of the meeting. And that was one thing that was mentioned, and I was the one that asked the question, was it going to be non-political? And they said, yes. And then now they're bringing out political, so I said, no. So to this day, they don't pay into any political organization, nor yet have they joined the American, because we fought so strongly against it.
Were there people active in the union from the CCF and, I guess, the communists? Were they...
Oh, well, and not with our union, but we were amalgamated with the Canadian Labour Congress and the also the BC Federation of Labour. And I used to go to their meetings every other Tuesday. They have their meetings, the BC Federation of Labour and the Canadian Labour Congresses. And I used to go to their meetings, and they were definitely communists in there, but they got them out. They got them out, that. But they were not just all... They're not just these CBRT unionists. No, they're everybody in it. IWAs, everybody was in it. And it was the Boilermakers Union that was the one. And, of course, the Fishermen's Union. They're under communistics. They're under communists.
Did the government's recognition of the right to organize during the war help you to establish a union in the hotel?
Well, of course, we had to get an okay from Victoria, you know, and I would say yes, it definitely did. Yeah.
And during the war, what effect did people's feelings towards the war, patriotism, have toward their union activity? Did people feel any hesitancy about asking for higher wages? Or?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we just went on as usual because... naturally, the hotel was doing good business because all the soldiers that were transferred from one place to another came to the Hotel Vancouver, you know, for all their meals and everything. And we were really going big guns during the war. And yes, really, we were really busy. So we never hesitated about asking for more wages because the hotel was making money at that in those days.
Mm-hmm. Did the women whose husbands were at war tend to sort of socialize together?
Well, I don't know, because I had such a big family of my own. I used to have, every Saturday night in our house, we always had to get together, and my husband, if he was around where they could travel, you know, with the Air Force, he'd bring in some Air Force boys, and I'd ask some of the girls from the hotel to come down, which I would say maybe they did socialize more, you know.
Did you have children at that time?
No, I don't have any children. I have brought up children, you know, and raised children, but not my own children.
Were you raising them then?
Yes. Yeah, I had my cousin's two children. One was about 7 and one was 9 that time.
What did you do for child care arrangements while you were working?
My aunt stayed with me, you know, and she took care of them. Mm-hmm. And then I also had an old lady with arthritis. I had her for 9 years and took care of her while I was working, did all my housework. I never hung a washing out on Sunday, I'm very proud to say. Mm-hmm. And I never owed one penny of debt in my life. And I never, and I always tried to share with my neighbors. You know, we did share a lot more, I think, during the war than we did previously. You know, like, well, my husband was always a great fisherman, and if he caught any fish, we'd can it. You know, with a big canner, and we'd can it, and we'd share it with the neighbors, or give it to them fresh or whatever. And I'd bake, and we'd have these parties maybe every Saturday night with all the, you know, anybody that was coming home on leave had no place to go. They always come to our house because we always had a big house, 6 bedrooms. And we always had room, even if we'd sometimes have wall-to-wall people instead of wall-to-wall carpets. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I think it did make people mm-hmm. get together closer, or closer together.
You had said before that you came from a community, I guess, that was well, sympathetic to the Union.
Yes. But, yeah.
Did you grow up in a trade union family?
Yes. Well, I'd say yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although they never discussed it much at home. You know, see, my father died when I was 4, and my mother's brother stayed with us. He was a bachelor, and he worked at the coal mines, and he was, of course, very strong unionist, but they never discussed it. I mean, we never had to, and I was never in a union in Scotland before I came to Canada. Of course, I came here when I was 18, so, I mean, I didn't mm-hmm. work too much, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, why did you and how did you get involved in trade unionism?
Oh, well, I think I just liked it. I like people. I like to talk to people. And I took a speech course, you know. And then I took another course, the union office.